Our next chapter of consideration is developing an evangelistic strategy for a local church or a group of local churches. Very important that we have a clear strategy. The false cults, the false religions, all have a plan. And I find it quite sad to find churches that have no plan. Particularly an evangelistic plan to reach the lost in our communities. That's why we are placed where we are, to be a witness and a lighthouse to people that find themselves so hopelessly lost. Now, before we go into this important word on developing an evangelistic strategy, we need to understand what we mean by mobilizing membership. It's essential that we mobilize our members into evangelism. Ephesians 4 and verse 7 says, "But to each one of us was given grace as according to the measure of Christ." "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." So therefore, God has granted gifts and grace to fulfill the goals and the objectives and the purpose of those gifts. So as we look at the issue of mobilizing membership, the first is the gift we must seek. There are three functional gifts for all time. One is the evangelist, and he's committed to evangelistic proclamation. The next is he's committed to evangelistic application. And then thirdly, evangelistic invitation. So the evangelist has this particular gift to reap the harvest. There is the pastor, the sower, as well as the sheep tenderer. And then there is the teacher, whose task is to disciple converts, to disciple members, as well as produce leaders. Now, the pastor-teacher can overlap and can even be the same person. But these are three functional gifts of God's gift to the church. So the gifts we must seek, earnestly, the best gifts: the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. The next is the goals we must set. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us these words: for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The goals that we must set. Ephesians 4:12. What are the goals? A, the restoration of membership. This is important. Many church roles, there's a lot of dead wood. A lot of folks who are members, just not active at all, and they need to be restored. The education of the body of Christ in terms of relationship with Christ, in terms of relationship with each other, and relationship out there, whether it be across the street or across the seas. The next is motivation. The goals we must set: restoration, education, and motivation to motivate the body of Christ like never before. Then there is not only the gifts we must seek or the goals we must set, but the growth we must see. There needs to be a growth in three areas: a growth in membership in terms of an impact upon a community, a people that belong nowhere. There are millions of people that aren't in church, and they need to be reached. Growth in membership activity. One looks at one's list of members and one sees the discrepancy between the active ones and the non-active ones. Then growth in membership maturity, in growth and in walk with God. What an important aspect this is. But now we look at some principles for preparing an effective evangelistic outreach and developing an evangelistic strategy for the local churches. And what an important task this is. Doesn't just happen. People don't come running into the church. You don't go fishing and tell the fish to jump into the boat. There's action. And what an important word this is. I remember when I was going on the fjords in Norway, we went fishing, and they had a video unit right in the heart of that boat, and they could pick up from the screen just where the fish were. And they had a clear strategy how to catch those fish. And I found it all very interesting, certainly very mechanical. And the sportsmanship side of it was not there. But the point being that they were clearly prepared to do what they had to do to catch the fish. So these are some principles that govern us in preparing for an effective evangelistic outreach. There is, first of all, the perspective for what we call a crusade or an evangelistic mission, but a clear perspective. Evangelism in perspective must be seen in perspective with other church ministries. Evangelism is not competitive with the other ministries of the church, but rather complementary to them. Evangelism is not competitive with the other ministries of the church, but rather complementary to them. Each needs the other for the total health of the body and for fulfillment of a great commission. Each needs the other for the total health of the body and for the fulfillment of a great commission. So it must be kept in perspective with all the other ministries. Some ministries are threatened by the ministry of evangelism. The one is there to complement and supplement the other. The crusade or the mission evangelism must be kept in perspective with other forms of evangelism. There are many forms of evangelism, particularly personal evangelism. Now, someone has well said that mass evangelism is merely the extension of other forms of evangelism, and in particular personal evangelism. In fact, mass evangelism is personal evangelism on a mass scale. In crusade mission evangelism, many different methods are emphasized, and one needs to make use of all of these different methods. In fact, where we've had missions or crusades, where there's been an activity of other kinds and forms of evangelism, this has certainly enhanced what we've been seeking to do. There's the ministry of the evangelist in perspective. The gift to the evangelist is never to operate within a vacuum. The gift of the evangelist is never to operate within a vacuum, but rather within the context of the body of Christ and the gifts of the church. The gift of the evangelist is never to operate within a vacuum, but rather within the context of the body of Christ and the gifts of the church. And so he comes and works alongside and links hands with the body of Christ. Then there is the mission in perspective. A crusade is not a method, but a mission that encompasses an entire city or area, employing a variety of evangelism methods based on biblical principles. A crusade is not a method, but rather a mission that encompasses an entire city or area, employing a variety of evangelism methods based on biblical principles. And how important that is. Then we need to examine the purpose of the evangelistic mission. What are the primary objectives? Number one, to evangelize the community. The primary objectives of the crusader mission is to evangelize the community. Well, by evangelizing, we mean proclaim the gospel. It doesn't mean that the whole community has to be converted. Evangelizing is when we have declared the truth and made the truth available at every level, to all levels, so that all might understand and be in a position to make a response to the gospel. To evangelize the community, combining the ministries of personal evangelism and proclamation evangelism together. Very often all the preparation culminates in an event, an outreach such as a crusade or a mission. Two, to strengthen the local church. Evangelism of those without cannot be separated from the rekindling of the devotion of those within. When people within the church see people getting saved and brought into the kingdom of God and living for Jesus, it rekindles a fresh devotion and commitment and love for God and for his kingdom. And so these are the prime objectives. To evangelize the community, to make Christ known. This is the church declaring the voice of God to the community. And then to strengthen the hand of the local church. There are certain prerequisites to assess when to launch. Number three, prerequisites to assess when to launch a crusade mission. And so one needs to assess just to know when it is the right time. There is a sense in which it's never the right time. There's always something else on, there's always other activities, but I think there are certain things that one has to be careful of. The one is there concern? Is there sufficient concern amongst the members of the church that time has come for a season of reaping? We've been sowing and sowing and sowing. We've been here for years. We've never reached out to the community. Is there concern? That's number one. Number two is the commitment. Many folks would ask for a show of hands. Yes, it's time to have an outreach in the church. Well, who'll be committed to help us to get the thing going? And usually most folks are so busy and involved in all the other activities of the congregation and just can't be committed to get the job going. An evangelistic mission requires hard work and commitment. And if people are serious, I believe they'll commit as we shed all other responsibilities for this particular effort. Is the climate right? In other words, is this church in that kind of condition to bring in new babes, new converts? Or is the contention, division, and hurt and blame and all kinds of issues that are unsettled in the life of the church? And so we ask the question, is the climate of the church right? It'll never be 100%, but we reach the stage when all systems are going. Let's reach out and link hands together to impact our community. Then there's convenience. And by that I simply mean it's really ever convenient. And again, certain seasons that I think we need to take into account. In other words, holiday seasons, Christmas seasons, times when perhaps, or with the extreme cold, or such like, that wouldn't be wise to try and launch an evangelistic mission during that particular time. So one looks at the convenience of the season. These are prerequisites to assess when to launch an evangelistic crusade. Concern, commitment, climate, and convenience. Very important to take into account. Number four, the preparation, the organizational process. Now, we're going to touch on four issues here, but I would hasten to say that we go into these in great depth on the section on the workshop for evangelism. But let me hasten to say that no effective evangelistic effort is effective without thorough and adequate preparation. The organization needs to be clear. Number one, organization. Are we organized for this, or is the glorified chaos? Have we recruited people to serve on the various committees? Is there training for the counselors, for the folks involved in different aspects of the outreach? Is the whole thing functioning? Or is it just another event and the faithful few get involved again? So the organizational process is very important, and I would encourage you to look and to study the workshop on evangelism. The next is promotional factors that influence attendance. There are a number of important promotional factors. There's publicity and advertising. It's got to be known that the church is active and there's something to say to the community. Is there sufficient involvement? Are we all involved? You see, the more you involve, the more you commit, and the more you commit, the bigger your impact. And the purpose of a mission, I would say, no matter who the evangelist is to make quite sure that you've got maximum involvement from the church, whereby the church or the churches own the whole event and see it as part of their function in the community. A personal invitation. People won't just respond to a poster on a pole. They'll respond to personal invitation when we personally become involved and become the bridge between the church and the community out there. And then for wider cooperation from other churches and other communities, and also the help of others that are involved in different kinds of institutions, such as a old age home, a nursing institution, a police barracks, or whatever, whereby one can reach and penetrate into these areas as well. Number six is what you call proclamation. What an important aspect this is. That's the evangelistic preaching. Again, the task is the proclamation of a historic biblical Christ as Savior and Lord, with the view to persuading people to come to Him personally and to be reconciled to God. Let me repeat that. The proclamation of a historical biblical Christ the Savior, biblical Christ the Savior, with the view to persuading people to come to Him personally and so be reconciled to God. The message, to spread the good news, to spread the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins and was raised from the dead according to the Scriptures. He now offers forgiveness to all who repent and believe. This is according to the Lausanne Covenant, to spread the good news. To spread the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins and was raised from the dead according to the Scriptures, and He now offers forgiveness to all who repent and believe. The message should be delivered with authority, simplicity, and urgency. The message should be delivered with authority, simplicity, and urgency. The preacher should preach for a verdict, inviting people to make a decision now to come to Christ. And then number seven is the preservation. And the preservation challenge is turning the decisions into disciples. It's easy to make a decision. It's another thing to make a disciple. Decisions can be made at the spur of the moment, in a meeting. But discipleship is a lifelong process. And so one needs to be aware of this kind of responsibility that belongs to evangelism. There's the immediate follow-through, whereby a person is helped on some of the basic issues to get going in his Christian life. There's the long-range follow-through program to hook a person into a Bible correspondence course or a home group and be discipled by someone who will take care of them. Then we have to remember the great follow-up agent, even our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And one is found in some of the remote areas of the world where people have come to Christ as a result of a radio broadcast or a tract they received. The Holy Spirit and His faithfulness has been there as the follow-up agent. This, however, does not excuse or exempt you and me from this vital responsibility belonging to the Christian Church. The product. The lasting benefits to the local church, how important these are. There is the training of the laity, as one trains laity in terms of soul winning, in terms of counseling, in terms of witnessing, in terms of making contact with the outsider out there. The training of the laity is a worthwhile motivation in terms of the benefits to the local church, where people feel they're equipped and they've learned to do something they've never been prepared to do before. There is the unifying of Christians, and this is so important that the body of Christ learns to come together. We're not here to build our own thing, to build our own kingdoms. We're here to lay aside all those things that divide us, provided we are clear on the basics, and come together. And evangelism is the one place where we can all meet and present Christ to a lost world. Unifying of the Christians. Number three, the emphasis on witnessing and evangelism. We need to get back. That needs to be constantly brought before the congregation. The emphasis of witnessing and evangelism. The next is new additions, new life, new blood come into the life of the church. What a tremendous blessing and help this is, how we need it. Number five, a new sensitivity to church and community needs. A new sensitivity. We forget what's going on in our own communities. We went to one place in the United States when we decided to go on a door-to-door campaign within the immediate vicinity of the church. And this was in quite a good area, in one of the cities in Oklahoma. And I was with another man, and we went from door to door in this one part of the, just near the church, and we came across a little house. And in that house there was hardly any furniture. There was a mattress on the floor. There was a woman with a little child. They gave the impression that they were starving. They had nothing, living on almost nothing. One could hardly believe that in the United States of America there were people within a stone's throw of that church that were living like that, and the church had no idea of what the community was round about them. They would drive in their big cars, have their services, and off they go for their lunches and all the rest of it. But just a stone's throw from that congregation, from that building, there was a little lady with a little child in desperate, desperate need. How wonderful we could make arrangements for the church to take care of that family. A new appreciation of the power of prayer. There's nothing that stimulates our prayer life when we see God answer prayer. A new appreciation of the power of prayer. And what this excites believers to see that God answers prayer. God uses people in different ways to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. A spiritual renewal. Many crusades have brought about a renewed attitude as fresh winds of life blow through the life of the churches and congregations, as people are born into the kingdom of God, as battles are fought and victories are won. What a great moment it is. And then it is the voice of God to the community. The voice of God to the community. Let me repeat these. Product, the lasting benefits to the local church, the training of laity, the unifying of Christians, the emphasis on witness and evangelism, new additions, new sensitivity to church and community needs, a new appreciation of the power of prayer, spiritual renewal, and the voice of God to the community, and how the community needs to hear God's voice. When the church is busy proclaiming the gospel, this becomes God's voice to the community. They're hearing many other voices, and how the community needs to hear the voice of God that says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now we come to the last aspect here. It's the person, the man God uses. The man God uses. He's prepared to use you and use me, and that's forever. Something that causes my heart to marvel. Number one, we must be certain he has a personal experience with Jesus Christ. Are you sure about that? Can you look back to the time, to the date, that you had a personal experience with Jesus Christ? You must be certain he has a call from God. Are you certain about that call of God on your life? He calls us all different ways. Some have a special calling. He must have a systematic devotional life. A systematic devotional life. You'll be a man of God. You'll never become a man of God without a systematic devotional life. He must be a person of prayer. How important that is, a person of prayer. He must be filled with filled with the Holy Spirit. Number six, he must have a compassionate and a sensitive social conscience. Sensitive to the needs round about him. You can't live in a cocoon all our lives. Do we have compassion and a sensitivity to the needs round about us? He will have a love for his brothers and sisters in the ministry. A love for his brothers and sisters in the ministry. Now, look at this spiritual infantry that we have at the end here, which you may want to complete. Are you sure that you know Christ personally? Just mark down that he is. Are you sure of your call from God? Do you have a systematic daily devotional life? Do you regularly spend time in prayer? Do you show compassion and concern for the needs of people around you? Do you demonstrate love for the brothers and sisters in the ministry? Do you know that you are filled with the Holy Spirit? Can it be said of you that you are the same person in private that you are in public? These are heart-searching questions. Let me run through them again. Are you sure that you know Christ personally? Are you sure of your call from God? Do you have a systematic daily devotional life? Do you regularly spend time in prayer? Do you show compassion and concern for the needs of people around you? Do you demonstrate love for brothers and sisters in the ministry? Do you know that you are filled with the Holy Spirit? Can it be said of you that you are the same person in private that you are in public? These are, as I say, are heart-searching questions. We're talking here about the building up of the man of God. And so, it's so important that one can fill these questions in on a clear, free, a conscience free of any guilt at all. Ron Hatchcraft speaks of God's word, evangelizing. He said, "I will go to the people, the world of lost people, not expect them to comfort to mine. I will start with their agenda, not mine. I will focus on Jesus, not the other issues. I'll make evangelist, not just be an evangelist." What a great word that is. So I trust that this little section here on preparing for an evangelistic event will be a source of help to each one of us as one prepares our churches. Don't let the issues scare you. It's all a step of faith. But faith and obedience are always connected together. And so one needs to remember that as one launches out. Satan doesn't like it. He'll never approve of what you're doing. You have all kinds and forms of opposition. But one presses on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.